Hello again, and welcome to our podcast, the companion podcast. Everyone has a story to the two quarterly lifestyle magazines, Hello Sunshine and In Noosa Magazine. Our team currently working on the spring issue of both of those titles, and if you would like to be part of those titles and have your brand, your business exposed in those two exciting quarterly publications, contact our client service managers, track us down on social media. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram as well. All right, now on to today's episode of the podcast, Everyone Has a Story. My next guest has spent a lifetime involved in music. She was classically trained, however, her teacher at the time said that she had the talent, but not the discipline. My guest on today's episode has performed in bands and entertained huge crowds as a DJ all over the world at things like the Grand Prix and even working for iconic fashion label Louis Vuitton. Everyone has a story, and today I'd like you to meet Nikki DeSaint. We start by talking about the influence that music had on Nikki's life.
Well, growing up in Melbourne, it was always there. So really early on, in as much as leaving school at 15 to be a professional singer. So I was singing like doing session work, jingles, singing backups on different albums and having my own band, and then being a live musician coming from that world and falling into the DJ world kind of happened a little bit later, just by singing with DJs in clubs and them going, oh, can you just take over while we go outside or, you know, have a break? Or, and so I kind of just, I've never been taught how to DJ. I just learnt by on the job,
yeah,
as such. I'm in the deep end.
I'm wondering if our paths ever crossed. What decade or era are we talking about that when you were performing in bands in Melbourne town?
So that would be the early 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And singing like TV commercials like Better by Bigger, Bigger Cheese and Vitabrits and all sorts of different stuff. Channel 9, still the one for the year 2000.
Yeah,
that was
wow.
The big one of it. So that was, yeah, I think it was a three-minute job in the studio, and I got paid $1,000, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the best ever.
Well, they were the days, weren't they?
So, yeah. What's that?
I was saying they were the days. I was at Fox in Melbourne from 93 to 2000, and that kind of voiceover work, and I mean, I wasn't a singer, but they used to pay handsomely to do jingles and commercials back then. These days, not so much. And so, did you? What was the live music scene like? I often feel that I missed out because I was too young to go to that 80s live music scene, pub rock scene, which is probably, I don't know if it's your genre or not, but what was the
What was the
live music scene like for you in the 90s in Melbourne?
Well, you know, I it was the early 90s that I left Melbourne and went to Sydney. And so it was great. I mean, Melbourne has always been the epitome, like within Australia, of live music, and so many venues, and the Corner in Richmond, and you know, being in different bands. I was in a band who the drummer from the Divinyls was the singer, and we lived together in Middle Park, and you know, you're bumping into Darryl Braithwaite and John Farnham, and working at AAV studios in South Bank seeing all these great bands of the 80s kind of and then watching all the new, you know, the new music, because it was a big transition from the 80s to the 90s with music. Obviously every decade kind of has their thing, but you know, when the dance music in the early 90s came in, it was, I didn't like it really. I was always the one that would say, yeah, everyone's a bloody DJ, you know. I was kind of I was staunch against it, which sounds bizarre now, because I think I just didn't know enough until I started to play with them and do gigs with them. I was like, oh my God, they're actually, you know, I'm not being a snob anymore. They're incredible. Yeah. So, it's being in Sydney. I don't know. There weren't as the Pokies really kind of took over. So it was also for me with the venues, it was like, okay, what else can I do besides being in a band and doing, acoustic work? And then moving into the clubs was the next kind of step, which is
Yeah.
what I did.
Let's go back a little bit to your childhood. So, did you grow up in Melbourne? Were your mum and dad there? What tell me about your childhood.
So mum and dad, so I'm the eldest of five. I'm the only girl, so I've got four rugrat brothers, and my parents were pretty hippie, nomads. We would go up and down from Mount Eliza on the Mornington Peninsula to Noosa. So, I remember Hastings Street being, a slab of bitumen. And we lived at the end of Hastings Street in Noosa Woods in a caravan when we'd come up here. And life was just so different compared to the Melbourne scene. And so kind of experiencing both worlds growing up. And then my family were like, oh, well, we're going to stay. We're going to move to Noosa. We're going to stay. We're not going to go back to Melbourne. And I'm like, well, I can't. I was 15 then. I was like, no, well,
That would have been
I'm
terrible
going
news for you. You would have gone, this
to.
small country.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, because there was nothing here. It was beautiful, but there was nothing here. And even Brisbane to me was just like a big old country town. I was like, well, what am I going to do in Queensland? Like, there's no. So I stayed on in Melbourne till I was about 18, 19, and then came up to Noosa for a little bit and sang. Oh gosh, I used to sing in this kind of reggae band with all these Maori boys. There was this little white girl singing, and there's a club actually in the Junction. I can't remember what its name was, but it's anyway, it was, back in, I must have been 2 years I was here, and I was like, okay, I've got to go. So I went to Sydney and then spent the rest of my time in Sydney, and I hadn't moved back up to the coast until 2017. And then it was like, okay, well, I've kind of built my career now that I can live outside of the city and then go and work, jump on a plane and work.
Were your parents, I know you said they were a bit of kind of hippies, were they supportive of your musical career, or did they have?
Oh yeah, big time. They were my biggest fans. Yeah, family have always been really like, yep, of course that's what you're going to do because that's what you've always done. So even from a young age, like being three, mum was like, I'm two. She's like, before you could really, do anything, you're already singing. So that's obviously what you're going to be. So there's never a question of me ever doing anything else. Like growing up, going, oh, I don't know what I want to do. I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to be a singer. I'm going to be a musician. That's what I'm going to do.
I look, I wouldn't say that I played professionally in a band, but there is something about performing for an audience as a musician or a singer. Can you talk to me about the satisfaction of doing what you do, a DJ? Like, what do you get from the audience as a DJ? And
Well, it's funny because when I started DJing, I wasn't doing the big parties. It was more art house stuff and setting like a vibe, setting a feeling. So the biggest thing was for me with music, it was like, being a DJ from where I started, even though I learned to DJ in the clubs and it was all singing and dancing and blah, 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 with the music, when I actually branched out and started to just DJ myself, it was more, art shows and fashion shows. And so you're really creating a mood, and an experience where, which I still do a lot of. And then, but now with DJing, I do music festivals and I have my own music that I'm releasing. So, and that's all dance based. And it's that energy exchange that you sitting in a studio, like I love recording and I love being in the studio, and I think that's probably my most favorite experience of my whole thing is writing and recording and bringing a song to life. But then when by the time you take it from the studio onto the stage, it's such a journey. And when you get to the stage and people respond to your music, you're like, oh my gosh, really? Like, it's always a bit of a shock, and it's so exhilarating. And to be able to, just have that happiness. I love w looking out and seeing all the faces and, everyone having a good time. It's like there's just an energy that is really addictive, because I also still do acoustic work under Elsom & Co, and we do, corporate events
Yeah, right.
and festivals and things like that, and singing acoustically and singing folk music and singing like Aussie Crawl and Cold Chisel and all the old classics, Neil Young and Fleetwood Mac, to then flipping, and it's just with a guitar, really raw, no looping, no drum machines, nothing. And then so from going to, from an acoustic gig to then doing a DJ gig, it's like the other end of the spectrum. And I just love having the both because I really need to sing. And I don't really get to do that as much when I'm DJing compared to when I'm doing the acoustic, where it's all about every song. You know, there's a lot of beat DJ music and dance music. So you can, yeah. But it's, yeah, it's that exchange.
It's interesting. You must be a really passionate lover of music, because I know a lot of friends who are so one-eyed into one particular genre that
Yeah.
they don't even consider any other genres. It's either dance or it's trance or it's I've got a good mate who's into trance, and you can't talk to him about any heritage artists like Elton John or Fleetwood Mac, or like it's just his whole brain is closed off to these other artists. But hearing you talk about doing an acoustic set and then playing big festivals, DJing at big festivals, like I love a whole cross section of genres, because I love music, whether it's jazz or classic or country or rock, or and I think and I think, am I right? Like you must be a real lover of all genres of music as well, to appreciate the nuances of those different genres.
Absolutely. And like it's funny because my training was in classical, so when I was had singing lessons, I was in the classical world. So, and I was even thinking, oh, maybe I should be a classical, go into opera and do that. And my teacher was like, darling, you don't have the discipline to do that. You might have the talent, but you do not have the discipline. And the discipline's, half 50% of it. But yeah, it's having that. I think that's why I've been able to do so many different things. I'm not one style of DJ, and that's where, and that can sometimes be difficult too, because people go, yeah, but what do you do? It's like, well, what do you want? What do you need? It's
I
like,
can
I can
do
do whatever you
everything.
need. Yeah.
Do you have
So,
like,
and that's good. Yeah, good
sorry, I was
challenges
going to
as
ask, do you have
well.
like a default setting of fave music, like the music that you might put on the Sonos speaker next to the bed at nighttime before you go off to sleep, or is
No,
what's your
I,
fave kind of
yeah.
genre?
It, this is going to be so crazy. My probably the artist that I listen to the most of all time would be Leonard Cohen. And then yeah, and so and I love I just love all styles, and I listen to a lot of classical music. That's like the music that I listen to when I don't want to be thinking about anything. Like it just completely clears my head, and Lou Reed or the, oh God, I can go on and on, but
When
Nick
you,
Drake,
yeah, when you talk about classical performers, like which artists or which composers, sorry.
I really love, what am I listening to? I listen to, well, I learned a lot of Mozart. So the Marriage of Figaro was kind of like, and when I was younger, I won some awards with that, just singing competitions and things like that in Victoria. But so Mozart, I love Vivaldi, I love Bach. The list goes on. It's like, and the thing is too, sometimes I feel musically I have so many balls in the air. I have to really concentrate on, okay, now what am I doing today? What do I, but also too, I think with my original music, I would like to incorporate, all of it into what I'm trying to do, originally with my original music, which is challenging, and it can sometimes be really exhausting because, it's if I was living in Melbourne, it would be a lot easier for me to do, because I do a lot of my recording in Melbourne. And since lockdown, 2020, haven't really. I've got back down there once, and then I had to jump back on a plane to get home again before the borders closed. So it's been a real sort of spanner in the works with kind of that idea of, say, Groove Armada. I don't know if you're familiar with Groove Armada, but they're a an English duo, and they kind of incorporate that real band sound. Like it takes you on a bit of a journey. You've got the high intense dance tracks, but then you've got a song that they wrote that's on a Tom Cruise film, and it sounds like a blues track, you know. And it's kind of, yeah, diversity. I'm really drawn towards.
What keeps you in Noosa? I mean, apart from is it just the COVID thing? Because you said, you've got the studio in Melbourne, and
Yeah.
what's the reason that you call Noosa home?
Oh, it's just the big part of it is the weather, and being out and growing up here and having, I do have family here. I think getting out of the city, because I was living in Sydney, that was the last city that I lived in, and it's like, oh, you know what? I just got to get out of the city. And every time when I moved up here, being able to travel until COVID, so that was a good 3 years. I would basically go and do my work, jump on a plane, come home, hit the beach, go for a walk, and just exhale. It was just like this big, oh, wow, I'm so lucky to be able to have the best of both worlds. And Noosa is home to me. It's like Melbourne's not, I love Melbourne, and I have family in Melbourne, I have family in Sydney, but Noosa's my home. And it's funny because it kind of feels like it always has been.
I understand what you're talking about, the exhale, about the peace and the calmness of it all. So, your family, your hippie mum and dad, still here?
They're still here, and I have all of my extended family are in Melbourne, so aunties and uncles and cousins and things, and then brothers, Queensland and Sydney.
Your mum and dad still living the hippie lifestyle? They got a combi or something? Is
Yeah,
that, tell me what they're doing.
very much. They, well, mum grows her pumpkins. She's out behind Karoi. Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, they're just completely off the grid,
Oh, good on them.
which is cool. Yeah,
You were talking about big festivals before, and again, I can only, from what I've seen on TV or from other DJs, when the whole crowd is in the palm of your hand. Talk to me about a typical day when you're on the job, Nikki, and you fly, you're on your way, you journey some, you fly some, whatever, and you're setting up for a major festival. What is that day like as a performing artist
very
at,
organized.
yeah.
It's very organized, and trying to keep calm through it all, not getting too much into your head, because you've done a lot of prep work to get there, so everything should all be sorted. I mean, things always go wrong technically. Did a big show a couple of months ago at the convention center in Brisbane, and it was for 1500 people, and it was huge production. And all these different artists on all night long, and we had a great sound check that afternoon, and then get back up on there, and then all of our sound's gone, so I can't hear anything. And all of the music's coming out from around the convention center, which is a big room, and you're just like, oh no, like why? We've just prepared. This is it just should be. So you've just got to be ready to be thrown under the bus in some way. But I think if you've got If you know what you're doing, and you can just smile and get through it. And a lot of the time, the audience don't know. They don't know what's happening. So I think for me, it's just being prepared, going through the motions. I'm quite into a routine when I do all that stuff. I like to have this, and this. You know when you're going to eat, you got to make sure you have your fluids, all that. And then you can worry about partying after and relaxing and
Is
yeah.
the party scene a big part of that lifestyle, the lifestyle that you have?
It is. But I find now it's yeah, it takes it out of you. It's like you come home, and oh, even my partner, he's like, oh, gosh, everyone gets the that girl, and I get this girl. It's like my middle name is, I'm really tired. But yeah, like it's just a part of it, and you do get used to it. But it's like an athlete; you know what you can do, and you know what you can't do. And as you get older, you just pace yourself a lot more, and just make sure that you're looking after yourself, you know.
I read on your website that you've performed at a, I'm guessing, a Melbourne Grand Prix.
Yeah, I've done Melbourne Grand Prix a few times
Have you?
now,
What was it?
and. Yeah, we're set to do it again this year until we
It's not going ahead this year. No. Tell me about your association with brands like Gucci or some of the big fashion labels. Who have you worked with and for?
Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Christian Louboutin.
And were these fashion shows, Nikki? Is this where you performed?
I've done fashion shows and I've also done private events and parties for them. So the last big one back in 2019, before, you know, we moved into the new world of COVID.
The new COVID world, yeah.
Was for Louis Vuitton, mm-hmm. and that was in Sydney in Circular Quay. It was a huge, huge party. Flume was playing in Vera Blue and what have you. So this was for 300 people that were invited, and it was a party that Louis Vuitton put on. So I've got that realm where it's all party music, and then also the fashion side of it, which is all, you know, fashion shows are very, you know, there's a lot of work involved with fashion shows as far as many months of prep and back and forth and doing the music and, you know, setting the mood, where parties are a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So you do the runway stuff, and then there's the party afterwards, and you kind of service both of those audiences. Yeah.
Well, not even. Yeah. Not even. Like the runway stuff is at a different time of the year. It's always like the Fashion Week stuff around the world runs on at different times.
Yeah.
These are then probably the people that I've met through, obviously the connections that I've made through the fashion shows, and then they know what I'm like as a DJ for partying as well. So I get the call to come and do that as well, which is good.
I imagine you get some kind of thank you basket as well. That's got like a Louis Vuitton purse or handbag, shoes.
It's a bit special. It's a bit special. And it's surreal. It's like, I think I did a private party for Christian Louboutin. It was his first visit to Australia. And you know, there's so many stars there, you know, Destiny's Child and all these different, you know, musicians and celebrities and what have you. And then, you're mixing in this world of glamour. And then, you know, but at the end of the day, you just get back home and walk the beach, and it's great. It's a beautiful balance, I find. I don't know if I could be in that world all the time.
No, it would be a bit exhausting.
But
wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be exhausting. Yeah.
How did those the gigs that you're describing? How did they come up? Like, how did you do? You pitch for those? Do you chase those? Is it word of mouth? No. Is it reputation?
Word of mouth. It's all word of mouth. I've never. You kind of can't even get in. Like, I have a lot of colleagues that say, "Oh, you know, can you put me forward?" Or did it's like basically I can, but it doesn't mean anything. They have to kind of. There's no set formula. I think word of mouth, and that's basically how I've run my career. It's all been word of mouth. And I don't have an agent. I book all my own gigs, and, you know, I don't have a manager. I just kind of, I like, cause I like to speak to the clients and I like to find out what they need. I want to be, you know, I don't want too many middlemen.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like in this day and age, I've had that before, and it's just, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't again, but for me, how it's worked really well, just being able to speak directly to the clients. And you've got
the reputation, I suppose.
And you build relationships. And once you've got those relationships, they kind of, you know, if they don't want you, they'll say, well, do you know of anyone? And I'll go, So it's good.
As somebody that works in the arts as a performing artist, and with the whole COVID thing, I know it's difficult because if we weren't under this COVID spell, I'd go, well, you know, how do you want to steer your career in the next 12 months, 2 years, whatever? But how, what kind of plans are you putting in place, Nikki? I mean, how do you steer, you know, what do you do in these times? You're still planning gigs? Are people still, you know, calling you or emailing you and saying, you know, can you lock me in for September or December? Is your diary still filling up?
Well, it has been, and obviously now we're in another lockdown, and so I'm just kind of now navigating through, because I was supposed to be even in Thredbo at the end of this month to do the Heineken show down there, and that's obviously not going to happen. So a lot of it's very hard to know, because events are put, dates are placed and bookings are confirmed, and then all of a sudden turn of a hat, it all changes. So it's kind of we're all just taking it week by week and literally day by day. Like even on Saturday before we had that snap lockdown, I was supposed to play the Noosa Enduro event, which is the bike festival, the racing
Oh,
festival.
where was that going to be at?
That was at the showgrounds in Taunton, and so we were supposed to perform that night, and then obviously from 4 o'clock the lockdown, so we got the call saying tonight's cancelled. The next day was supposed to go down to Brisbane to do the James Street Food and Wine Trail, which
Oh,
is
and
another little
that
mini
would have been off
festival.
as well.
That would have been a great one. And so yeah, so it's just a
Pain in the
it's a
ass.
constant, and it is, because there's especially there's events that you just really look forward to, and you work towards, and then you think, oh well, okay, just try and be positive and just
Well, what can you do to be proactive instead of waiting for events to kind of come up and then, maybe be cancelled or postponed? Are you recording? Like, how do you occupy your time?
yeah, absolutely. So I've got a bunch of new tracks. I'm actually talking music videos and releasing my album. So I've been working on that for the past 2 years, and was set to release it back in 2020. But yeah, COVID kind of took that. I was like, you know what, it's not a good time to do it anyway, I'll just wait. Because the biggest thing is, it's when you do release music, you want to get out and do the shows so people can hear it.
Well, isn't
And
that it?
without the shows, it's a real
That's
hard
true.
one.
George Ezra has said the same thing. He doesn't want to record anything until he can perform it live. And then on the flip side of that, you've got people like Taylor Swift who not only recorded one, they've recorded two albums during a
Oh, goodness.
lockdown year.
Absolutely. The great thing about is that with social media and that presence, you can really do everything from home. Even doing I've been lucky because I've been able to do virtual gigs, so
Oh, that's
people
cool.
because we have to think outside the box now. It's like, okay, an event's not going to happen, but everyone still has to, even conferences and things like that, where they like I did one for Google. And then so yeah, like so that's all good. And it's not so much sitting waiting for work to come in, because it always comes in. It's just kind of riding the waves through it, and making sure, like you say, to be proactive and getting my original music out there. So that's what I'm continuously always working on.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to have a chat with you, and good luck with with
Oh,
new music and
thank you,
new
John.
albums and songs and stuff. It's been great.
Thank you.
Nikki DeSaint, my guest on today's episode of Everyone Has a Story. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review the podcast and share it about on your social media platforms. Until next time, take care.